Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, the word's good.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, you can go to Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. This is part 6 of our faith series. And oh, what a series it's been. Praise God. Father, help us this morning. Lord, your words be said. What you want done, be done. And Father, I mean that with all my heart. Lord, I'm not playing games here. And Father, you could say something today that could absolutely change somebody's destinies, change somebody's course of their life. And so, Father, help me to say what you want said. Speak through me that my words not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. And Father, I thank you that you'll fill my mouth as I open it. And Lord, my words will be in season. Make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer, that I would speak as the oracles of God, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And Father, I thank you that I'm going to say something this morning that's going to strike a chord in everybody's heart here. And Father, it'll be a sign unto them, Lord, that you're real. It'll be a sign unto them, Father, that you love them. And it'll be a sign unto them, Father, that they can hear from you in this place, that this is a safe place. And so, Father, we thank you right now for what's to come, what's to take place, what's to transpire in our midst. And we'll make sure to give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Mark chapter 5. Praise God. It says, "And a certain woman, verse 25, which had an issue of blood 12 years, suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had, was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind, touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked round about her to see that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. If her faith made her whole, your faith can make you whole."
Amen.
We are in a series about faith, and the reason that we need to learn faith and be taught faith is because faith is how we receive from God, it's how we overcome, it's how we please God, it's how we quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Faith is everything, praise God. Faith can take that which isn't whole and make it whole. Notice that there were many people grasping at Jesus that day. Multitudes, the Bible said. And the disciples, Jesus said, who touched me? The disciples said, Lord, you know there's multitudes touching you, but you're asking who? You want to know a specific? And he said, wait a second, there's something different about somebody that touched me, because something came out of me when someone touched me. It wasn't when the multitudes, but somebody got something out of me that other people didn't get out of me. Well, power went out of him, and we see what the reason was. Jesus said at the end of the story, he said, your faith did this. And, you know, I've only been around the block a little bit, but I've been around the block a little bit, at least, and I've seen some things. And I've seen the body of Christ that many people are grasping after God. They need a healing touch. They need a prosperity touch. They need whatever they need in their life, you know, whatever they're lacking, whatever's not whole. And their multitudes are going to him, wanting something from him. Yet the power's only flowing out to the few. And who the few are? The ones that will walk in faith. The ones that will be faith. Why? Because faith is what moves God on the earth. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst. The ones that are hungry for the things of God, that believe in the things of God, that put a demand on God. You know, Jesus, when all the other multitudes were touching him, all of a sudden God's power didn't just get placed on Jesus when the woman with the issue of blood touched him. He walked into that town with that power. He walked down that street with that power. As they were grasping him, the power was there. Ladies and gentlemen, the power of God is always present to heal. It's always present to bless. It's always present to provide. It's always present to give answers. It's always present to deliver. But not everybody gets something to flow out of God. Because many people are grasping at them out of desperation, out of complaining, out of hopelessness, out of thinking, well, I've suffered for this long, the things just have to turn. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you don't receive in life what you deserve. You'll receive in life what you believe for.
Amen.
You could say this woman, this poor desperate woman for 12 years. Why did it take 12 years? Because until she did something about it, the situation didn't change. Yet God's presence and healing power are always present. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so that's why we're learning about faith, because it's a little secret that the body of Christ, mostly the majority, know nothing about. How do I know I came from those places? She came from those places. Many of you came from those places, growing up in ignorance, not knowing, being told that God's this sovereign God, that He'll do whatever the heck He wants to, and whatever, however it works out, it just works out. Que sera, sera. Whatsoever will be, will be. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Imagine if this woman would have just sat in her home and said, well, if He wants to heal me, He'll come to my house and He'll heal me. Because the Bible said she heard of Jesus, then she went into the press. What if she had heard of Jesus? Oh, He's a healer. Well, if He loves me, if He cares about me, I've been going through this for 12 years and I've suffered and I don't have any money left. If He loves me and is loving God and wants to do something for me, He'll do it for me. That wouldn't have happened for her. He'd have walked right out of her town and she'd have been in the same condition until she did something. She put a demand on what God had.
Amen.
And so we're teaching you that because faith is what puts the demand on what God has. And if we don't learn what faith is, we don't learn how to be skillful in the areas of faith, we won't operate in it correctly. Because what a lot of people think is faith is just hope. People are hoping things change, but faith is a firm persuasion. It's a non-wavering. It's a convincing that it's going to come to pass no matter what it looks like. And so we've taught you, and here we are. I'm just going to rattle off real fast where we've been. We taught you why faith, which I just talked about a little bit. We taught you what faith is. It's the belief in the unseen realm. It's believing in what God has said, regardless of what you can see, regardless of what your bank account says, regardless of what the doctor's report says, regardless of what your body says. Believing the Word and believing what God has said and being so convinced regardless of what you see. So faith deals with the unseen realm. And we told you how to get faith. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing the Word. The more you hear on a subject, whether it's faith, whether it's healing, whether it's prosperity, whether it's any blessing that you need, the more Word, the more faith. If it takes faith to receive it, you're going to have to build up an inventory or a stockpile of faith to receive that thing. So we told you how to get it. And then we told you once you get it, you know, the Bible says that faith is... once you come together with the Word, praise God, faith is conceived in your heart, but faith in your heart doesn't do any good. The Bible says, for with the heart man believes, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Jesus said in Mark 11:23, if you want the mountain to move, you're going to have to speak to it, praise God. You're going to have to say to it. He said the Word going out of your mouth is like the rain hitting the ground. It's got to keep hitting the ground to saturate, to change that thing, praise God. So you got to speak it. You got to speak your faith. You got to confess your healing. Confess your blessing. Believe for your blessing. Salvation didn't automatically fall into your lap. You first believed it in your heart, and then with your mouth you confessed that God's your Savior and you want Jesus to be in your heart, and salvation came unto you. That's what the Word says. And then we saw last week, which last week is, and we're going to piggyback on this week, is my favorite part of the faith message. Once we get it in our heart, we're convinced faith is the way, we need to change, we're going a different way, we're going faith, we get faith on a subject, we start to release our faith. Once we release our faith, we have now stepped over into the atmosphere in the realm of patience.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, that's not a fun place for flesh and for the mind. Because many battles of faith are won and lost in this realm. Ladies and gentlemen, if it didn't take any patience to receive, you wouldn't need any faith. If you just prayed for the money and the money was there, that doesn't take much faith. If you just prayed for the healing and the healing was automatically there, we're glad for the quick harvest. We're glad for the supernatural, all of a sudden the manifestations. But that's not the majority of the way it goes. Why? Because there's a devil. Why? Because there's opposition. Why? Because the enemy's the ruler of this world. God's not up in heaven dangling your blessing thing out in front of you. Just say, I'm going to make them wait. May I want to make sure. No, no. As soon as you're in faith, it unties the hands of God. But there is an adversary. There is an enemy. But if you'll keep at it, praise God, you will prevail. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says in 1 John 5 and verse 4, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Faith will eventually cause you to overcome. But we know this, there's no time frame on it. We just know if we keep on doing it, it will come to pass. Go with me again to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. We'll take a look at that real quick before we get rocking and rolling. You say, I thought you already were rocking and rolling. Oh, we're just getting started. We're just in the holding center, putting the seatbelt on and putting the lap bar over us. We're about to go up the hill and go down real fast and around the corners. Praise God. We're going to rip right through this. Hallelujah. Tearing the devil up all the way to the end. Hebrews 10 and verse 23 says, let us, I said, what do you do during that time of patience? Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful. He says, hold on to that profession. Hold on to that confession. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. Till when? Until the faithful one that what He's promised has manifested in the natural. Don't stop until it shows up. Praise God. When you wake up, say it. When you think about it, say it. When the devil gives you thoughts, you say it. Praise God. You got to say it to move it. You got to say it to have it. Praise. Why? That's how faith's released. And I never understood that until I saw that the word is like rain. And a farmer can't just have one rainfall in April and say, hey, we're good for the rest of the summer. All the rain that my fields and my crops ever need, we got it in one rainfall. No, the farmer needs to see a consistent rain. He needs to see more than one rainfall. Why? Because as the rain keeps hitting, and it changes that atmosphere, causes it to bring forth and bud, which ends up leading to seed to the sower and bread to the eater. It's the same way. You say it just one time. Well, it hit that thing and it started to change. But He told you already, the word is like rain. And if rain can't just hit one time, your words can't just hit one time. You got to say it to move it. Praise God. And He said in that time of patience, you're going to have to hold fast. That means to hold on tight. That means to hold on strong to that confession. And He said, if you'll hold on. In Galatians 6 and verse 9, He says, if you don't faint, you will reap. He said, you're going to have to hold on because there's going to be opportunities for something to come along and shake that thing loose. You know, people, it's easy to start a marathon. Every single one of us in this building can start a marathon. It's not hard to start a marathon. I mean, you just staple the little number on your belly and you get to the front of the line and you eat your spaghetti the night before and you're ready to start a marathon. Amen. Don't take my advice. I'm not sure that's how you start a marathon. But anyways, we can all show up that way. We can all be excited about the marathon, but what's going to happen at mile 12? I'll tell you, it's going to be about mile 1.5 before I'm going to start feeling it. I don't know about you, but I'm going to start feeling it. And it's that time where it's going to get tough. Anybody can get excited about healing, prosperity, or anything that God has said. Anybody can begin to open their mouth. But what happens at mile 10? What's mile 10? It might be day 2 for you. Mile 10 might be, well, week 3, nothing's changed. It's staying the same. What are you going to do? What are you going to do when you're believing God for the money? And all of a sudden something happens. And the money problems get worse. What is that? That's causing you to be shook a little bit. Trying to what? Shake that thing out of your hand. What thing? My God shall supply all my needs. The money's on its way. It's trying to get you to shake loose. Because if He can get you to lose what's in your mouth, He can get you to lose what's coming your way. Because Jesus said you only have what you say.
Right.
Amen. So you need to hold fast. Hold fast. And I told you what to do with that. And again, I'm reviewing more a little bit on this because we're going to piggyback off of it. I said, if we need to hold faster in that, because that's where the battle is. It's not the starting line for the marathon runner. You wake up fresh, ready to go. You know, you did your stretching. You're all ready. You ate a good breakfast. You're feeling good. That's not the problem. The problem comes mile 17, mile 18. You hit a wall, whatever it is. And, you know, I'll just say it this way. At mile 25 of a 26.2-mile race, you're feeling a little different than you did at mile 1. You're feeling a little different than you did at mile 2. Well, it's the same way. You release your faith at the starting line. You're excited about it. But what happens? Are you going to be able to endure when you're being rocking and rolling and it's shaking you? Are you going to be able to hang on to that thing and speak it? That's where the battle's lost. People start out like a ball of fire, man. Oh, my God will say, oh, pastor taught me about prosperity. I know my God wants me to be prosperous. I'm going to release my faith for it. And man, a week goes by and the money hasn't changed. Things have gotten worse. It doesn't look like anything's happened. The sickness hasn't gotten better. The situation hasn't changed. The outcome isn't any different. And you start to think, oh, is this working? And oh, you've fumbled. You fumbled the ball. Oh, I don't know if this is working. Oh, am I doing something wrong? God, is this, have you not heard me? And you dropped it. Listen, don't be alarmed when you're speaking it and all hell's breaking loose in your life. Praise the Lord. And I told you, I said, if you want to be somebody, because in the midst of when you're holding on to the confession is when the adversity is there. If you're going to be somebody that holds on to that confession, that can look sickness in the eye, that can look poverty in the eye, can look whatever you're facing in the eye and say, I'm not moved. I don't care what it says. I don't care what I see. I don't care what the report is. I don't care if the internet says. I don't care if the doctors are. I don't care. I only believe what God has said. If you're going to be that kind of person, which, by the way, that's the kind of person you need to be.
Amen.
Amen. Let me just tell you this. Faith is not denying what you're going through, but faith is believing that what God has said will trump what you're going through. What do I mean? If you're barfing your brains out and somebody asks you how you're feeling, don't say you feel good. You're lying. You're lying. Say, man, I feel like garbage, but I'll tell you what, there's a healer, and this thing's leaving my body. Praise God. That's faith. God didn't give you faith to flush your brain down the toilet. Amen. Hallelujah. It's believing God's report over the evil report. When the children of Israel said, oh, there's cities, there's walls, we can't get in. Caleb and Joshua didn't say, they're lying. I said, yeah, that's true, but we have a God. We're well able to overcome this. Praise the Lord. And so we told you what to do. We said, if you're going to have to hold on to that confession, you know, it's kind of like this. If I take this water bottle, and let's say I bring, we talked about this. We talked about people that are malnourished. You know, I know for me, if I would go one day without eating, I feel it. You know, I feel my headache. It gets weak in your body. Can you imagine if you go weeks after weeks? We've seen people that have gone through things that go through that. You know, that those conditions where they have eating disorders and they don't eat for a long time. And what happens? They don't get stronger. They get frail. They get fragile. They get very weak. They don't have much strength. And then there's somebody that's eating right, and they're in the gym, and they're eating the proper amount of proteins and carbohydrates and proper amount of calories, and they're working out, and they're fueling up on the right nutrition, and they're strong looking and healthy looking. If you give this bottle and you said to the person that wasn't eating and is malnourished compared to the person that is strong, and you said, okay, we're going to give you this bottle, and somebody's going to come by and try to rip this bottle out of your hand. Now, if you can keep that bottle in your hands, you'll get a reward of $10,000. And they hand it to the person that's malnourished, and they hand a bottle to the person that's strong. Who's it going to be easier to rip the bottle out of the hands of? Out of the one that's weak. And I said that a lot of Christians in the body of Christ, they're weak, they're malnourished. They can't hold on. You know, they're holding on to that confession, and then boom, a financial trial comes, and because they're weak, they let it go. They're holding on to that thing, that situation, and it looks like it's turning to go wrong. And because they're weak, it rattles them, and they don't have a strong grip on that thing, and they let that confession go. And they start speaking doubt and unbelief. How your life turns out is up to you, not God. Well, he'll just do it because he loves me. No, he does love you, but he gave you faith so it would happen, praise God. Hallelujah. And so we told you that. We told you three ways to be strong. And I'm not going to go over them, but number one is being in the Word often. What does the Bible say? The Bible says that the Word is food for your spirit, man. What realm are you going to be victorious out of? Not your natural, man. The Bible says we don't wrestle, or our battleground is not the natural. It's the spiritual in Ephesians chapter 6. So if your spirit man's weak, the devil's going to eat your lunch, is what I'm trying to say. He's going to have his way with you. Well, how can you make sure your spirit man's well-nourished and strong? Feeding on the Word. And then we saw you need to be someone that speaks in other tongues and prays in other tongues much. We saw that in the Word, that he said that they that speak in an unknown tongue edify, build up, and charge themselves up. And then we saw, well, we said this for people. I say, don't talk to me about that tongues business. That's weird and goofy and spooky and hooky. Well, Paul said this. Paul, the greatest Christian there was, the one that was in prison that said, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. The one that we're going to look at in a second, that was in the midst of a storm on a ship when everyone else was panicking and they were throwing everything overboard. He said, we will not die. We will be okay and it'll be just fine. Praise God. That man was the man that in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 18 said, I thank my God, I pray in tongues more than you all. So here's what it is. Now, if you pray in tongues much, the Bible says you're edified and built up. That's what the Word says. So the Word is food for our spirit, man. This is like a supernatural, power-packed protein shake. It's got all the ingredients, all the nutrition. You know what praying in tongues is? It's like going to the gym and pumping iron after you've fed your body the right stuff. Because he said when you pray in tongues, you're edified, you're charged, and you're built up. What's a bodybuilder doing? Building their muscles. What's the Christian that's praying in tongues all the time? Building their spiritual man. And when the strong one, when you get strong, you hold on to that thing. And little things don't move you. Why do the smallest things move some Christians? Yet the greatest tests and trials, there's Christians that can stand there and smile and laugh and say, it's coming to pass. Why? They're stronger. They have something in them, praise God. So we saw praying, we saw getting in the Word, and last but not least, we said you got to be a person of praise that constantly praises. Why? When you praise, you keep your attention on God. When you exalt God, you're not exalting your problem. And let's face it, many people are problem exalters. Oh, they talk about the problem. They call people about the problem. They meditate on the problem. They sit there and pace the floor and get stressed about the problem. What if you put that much energy into thinking about God and talking about God and declaring about God and meditating how good He was, laying in bed and thinking, wow, you're the God of this. You're the God of that. You're the God who's faithful. You don't sleep, praise God. You don't sit on your throne and just waste the day away. You're there always strong. What if you elevated and magnified God instead of your problem? Your problem would get smaller. As God gets bigger, your problem gets smaller. And that's what praise does for you. Elevate God, not elevate the problem. Now, I was going to get into this last week, and the Spirit of God said, no, make this the whole message for this week. So we're going to piggyback on what to do during that time of patience. We've told you, be in the Word. Be in prayer. Say, this is great. People will say this. You got to learn to get past your feelings. I've had people say, it's not fun to pray and read the Bible. I never found it to be much fun to be on a treadmill. I never found it much fun to go to the gym myself personally. I'm not someone that enjoys working out. But you know what? Whether I enjoy it or not, if I put forth the same effort, I get the same results, whether I go there liking it or not liking it, right? Whether I get on that treadmill and I run the same speed for 5 miles happy or the same speed 5 miles mad, same result. Well, I don't feel anything when I pray. Well, who said you're supposed to feel anything? Go by the Word, you carnal bucket. What's a carnal bucket? A feeler. They got to feel everything before they do anything. You're carnal. You're carnal. Well, I won't pray unless I feel something. Oh, you're missing out. The ones that go to the gym and live a healthy lifestyle are the ones that can press past their feelings, still wake up in the morning, and go do what they know they need to do. You think every bodybuilder that's perfect in shape and has a perfect physique and is super healthy every day feels like eating the right things, feels like going and doing the right things? Absolutely not. They don't feel like it all the time, but they know it's best for them.
That's right. Yeah.
Amen. The Christian that doesn't go by feelings, that's the spiritual Christian, is the one that says, hey, the Bible says if I pray in tongues, I build myself up. And I know there's a devil trying to shake me loose of what I'm holding on to, so I don't care if I feel anything or not. I'm just going to do it and take the word at what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't like feeding on the Word. It's not as fun as watching Survivor. It's because Survivor and all those, I'm not saying anything against those things. I'm just saying those things cater to your mind and your flesh.
Sure.
And the Bible says your spirit's in a battle with your mind and your flesh.
Yes.
So we need to do the right things. Praise God. So we said to pray, read the Bible. Praise God. Simple, basic things. And praise God. Be a person of praise. And now, the other thing that you need to do. Now, one of the reasons, and this is near and dear to my heart, these two messages, because as a pastor, you want to see the sheep thrive. And I see more people fumble the ball in this stage, the patient stage, than any other. And so I want people to get this in their heart. Is people in this stage, when they get into this time where they need to hold that faith, when day whatever goes by, you're still as much believing it as you did at day number one. That's how it's going to come to pass. Is because they try to figure it out in the natural. They try to figure out how the money can come. They try to figure out how the healing can come. How in the world can that situation change? And when they can't figure out in the natural, their faith wanes. Because we like to touch things. We like to be able to see things. We like to know how things work. Remember when I said in the beginning of this series, to be a faith giant, you're going to have to be very uncomfortable with walking around blind at times? You know, if we shut all the lights off during greeting time and closed up all the little cracks, let no light in here, it'd get very uncomfortable. As people, you know, if people are walking around the lights and there's a big crowd and then all of a sudden, boom, the lights are off, it's going to be very uncomfortable because who knows who we're going to bump into? Who knows what we're going to trip over? Well, that's the way it is with faith. You got to be uncomfortable with the, you have to be comfortable with the uncomfortable. You have to be a believer when there's no sign to grab onto, there's nothing to touch, there's no natural thing that says, you know, the economy, the job, there's nothing that tells you the money's going to get better. The doctor's report says, no, there's no hope. There's no chance here. You have to believe it no matter what.
Amen.
And one of the reasons people can't do that is because during this time they think, there's no way, you know, they're not giving raises, they're not giving increased, they're not going to promote me, they're not doing this, they're not doing that.
Right.
Praise God, that's what happens to people.
Yeah, right.
Well, the doctor said it's impossible and he went to school and I see it, I can see it on the report. I don't know how could this change? Everybody I've talked to, it never changed for them. Oh, you get into the natural. God's not a natural God.
That's right.
He's a supernatural God. Go to Acts 27. Acts 27 and verse 21. You know, when I learned... Actually, go to verse 22. Might as well save time. I learned about faith. I gobbled it up so fast. I thought, wow, an opportunity for my life to not stay the same. An opportunity for when hell shows up at my front door to kick it away.
Yeah.
I mean, my God, why aren't people excited about, I'm not saying you're not, but why aren't people more excited about faith? Why aren't people hungry to hear this stuff? I don't understand it. I don't understand it. I don't want my life to be a certain way. I want to be blessed. So
amen.
I'm going to gobble it up. Acts 27 in verse 22. Now just to catch you up, this is Paul's a prisoner and he's going to stand before Caesar. The Lord told him he'd stand before great men and tell his testimony. So he's being transported by boat with other people and they're in the midst of a storm and the ship is going to sink naturally. They said there's no way and so they start throwing things overboard. And Paul says this, I exhort you be of good cheer, verse 22. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but only the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, who I am. He said, I'm God, in whom I serve. Saying, fear not, Paul, you must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given you all them that sail with you. Verse 25, there, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. So what he's saying is, in the midst of his storm, he's holding fast to his confession of faith. That's why he said you're going to have to hold on tight because it's going to be stormy. It's going to be rough. There's going to be opportunities to faint. There's going to be opportunities to think what God has said is not coming to pass in my life. What God has said must not apply to me. There's going to be opportunities for you to take that bait. Don't take the bait. He that promised is faithful. Just because it hasn't shown up in the natural... Does a farmer go out to his field after planting seed in the ground and a rain comes and he goes out to his field the next couple days and all he sees is dirt and he looks at that field and says, this darn sowing and reaping business doesn't work. No, he knows it's a process. that if he sticks with it, if he doesn't dig that seed up out of the ground. How do you dig that seed up out of the ground? When you start speaking doubt and unbelief, you're digging up that faith seed out of the ground. You need to let that faith seed produce for you. Praise God. But this is what I want you to see. I love in verse 25, wherefore, sirs, I've wherefore sirred many things in my life. I wherefore sirs every things in my life that look like they're not changing, that look like things, you know, with the church, different things not going to change, that there's adversity. I say, wherefore sirs, be of good cheer. I believe God, and as it was told me, it shall be. What am I doing? Holding fast to my confession when the storm is a raging. Praise God. Now this is what I want you to see. Look at what Paul said in verse 25. He said, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for, now notice this, I think this storm's not as bad, and I think if we do this naturally, we could probably get it to turn, and we could probably get things to change, maybe if we take a different route. No, he knew there was no way. Paul didn't get his faith on trying to figure out the natural. He knew there was no way in the natural. He said, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, I believe God.
Amen.
Amen. Now you might say, because I know what your little brain's saying. I'm not saying you have a little brain, but your brain is saying, well, yeah, he had an angel. It's easy to hold on to an angel. Well, the Bible says the word of God is a more sure word of prophecy than any angel, any prophecy, any visitation, any voice from heaven. Nothing trumps this and what's spoke in your heart. Amen. Praise God. And again, are you ready for me to lump you? And now, I didn't say you're in this place, but if you're one of these people, you're just a carnal bucket. If you need a visitation, you need an angel, you need a voice, you need a sound from heaven, you need writing on the wall, you're just carnal. Come on, wake up. Pay attention. Praise God. Oh, glory to God. We ought to come to church prepared to hear the word.
Amen. That's good.
And honor the word of God. People walk through the door like sourpusses on their face.
Come on.
Come on. Oh, it's getting quiet in here except for Jeff. He never shuts up. And no, I don't pay him to do this. Amen. Praise God. He's just excited about God. Hallelujah. People show up. My God. Why is it when we show up for a vacation, we got a big smile on our face, but we show up to church, we can't stay awake, we're miserable, we're bummed out, we get grumpy and short with each other, but man, just give you a ticket to go somewhere. Oh, I'm all happy. Come on, this is the house of God.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. People have a big day at work the next day or a big presentation at school. Man, they get a good night's sleep. They come prepared for that thing. They show up for church. No honor for God. No honor at all. Hallelujah. They show up to weddings, they wear their best. They show up to funerals, they wear their best. They show up where Jesus is, he takes me as I am. No honor for him. No honor for him. Praise God. Say, oh, you're getting religious. No, I'm preaching honor because there's a lack of honor in the body of Christ. And God said, they that honor me, I will honor them. Why do we give the world? You know, people show up at times. I had to deal with this in Olean. I had to get on a young child that came and wouldn't behave and wasn't being told to behave. And I said, I'm sorry, not in this place. You're going to have to sit up straight. I said, this is the house of God. You're a mighty man of God. You sit up straight and you listen. Well, if the parent's not going to do it, I'll do it. Because this is the house of God, praise the Lord. Say, you don't talk to my kid that way. I will if you won't.
That's right.
Praise God. Why, well, I have an honor for this place. God's here. Praise God. And I said, come on, are you allowed to sit that way in school? Well, no. Well, then why in the world do we give the house of God and the things of God so much less honor than worldly things?
That's so true.
Hallelujah. Say, why are you saying all that? Because the Spirit opened it up for me to say it, and it needs to be said.
Praise God.
Praise God. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, if we get hungry for the things of God and show up here ready, show up here hungry with an honor and a reverence that God's going to do something, that we're going to worship Him, that we're going to just be willing to serve and do whatever in the house of God. People complaining and griping about things. My God, I'll do anything for Him. I told my pastor once, I will cut the grass on my hands and knees with scissors if that's what you need. If that's what the house of God needs, I'll clean toilets. I don't care.
That's right.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I remember, I don't mean to get graphic and crude. I remember after a youth group event, One of the youth group kids went into the bathroom, and I don't know what happened in there, but something happened in there. Nobody would clean it. And you know, it was the women's bathroom, and nobody would want to do it. I said, my God, this is the house of God. Made sure I sent a girl in there first. I said, make sure it's cleared out, no ladies in there. And you stand here and open the door. I'll go in and clean that thing. And I'll clean it, and I'll make sure I clean it so much that Jesus Christ himself would come and say, yeah, that's a toilet I'd sit on. Why? Because I love the house of God. I love the things of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Why do you wear a suit, you religious? Because it's the best I got. And I want to be, if I go beat the president, I'll tell you what, I'm not showing up in gym shorts. Come on. Oh, pastor. You just keep pastoring me. You're welcome to go anywhere you want, but we're going to preach honor for God here and faith for God. Now, where the heck was I? Acts 27, praise God. Say, I don't have a suit. So what? Wear your best. Wear what you have and believe God for something better if you want something better. Amen. He's looking at hearts, amen. He's looking at hearts. I remember I preached that one time and someone came up to me and said, you know what, pastor? I have nothing I could say. You're right. When I go to a wedding, I dress up. I come honorably. When I get ready to go on vacation, you're right, I'm happy. When I'm going on break, I'm happy. When I go to a funeral, I wear my best. You're right. You're right, I do that. I said, well, you know, you follow your own heart. But for me, that's my conviction. I want to wear the best I got for God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Yeah, God will take you as you are, but you know, there is a place where you grow up and you know better too. Say, oh, we can't invite people because we know they might show up in the gym shorts. So what? You can all show up in gym shorts. I won't say anything to you. But you know what? I might preach about honor sometimes. Because if it's true, if you'll show up at a wedding like that, great. If you'll show up at a funeral like that, great. But why give God less? Why give God less? Praise God. Amen. Well, that made everybody uncomfortable, but I don't care. Praise the Lord. I don't care. He said, I believe God. He said, I believe God. He knew there was no other way out but God. Praise God. Go to Mark 11:24. Praise God. It's crazy to me. I'm sorry, I'm on this otter thing, and I'm just going to stay out until the Spirit tells me to get off it. There's people that will never miss a day of work. All day, all week long, 8 to 10 hours, 12 hours a day, and an hour and a half on Sunday morning is pulling teeth. Shouldn't be that way. Right. More honor towards our job than the things of God. Just shouldn't be that way.
Right.
Praise God. Hallelujah. It's like God is an option. Well, God keeps being an option to you. He won't move as much in your life.
Right.
God's not optional to me. God's not optional. Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire. Now see, people that have good, right hearts will not get offended by this stuff. And if God speaks to their heart, they'll say, he's talking to me and I'll make a change.
Yeah.
The ones that get offended are the ones that say, I'm already doing everything right. Don't speak to me about my life. I'm already doing everything right. Well, you think you're perfect. You have a pride issue. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. You have a pride issue. But the ones where, if it steps on your toes and it's, man, you know what? That's right. I could do better. I could show up here better. I could give more to God. Well, they'll make an adjustment and they'll be corrected. They won't get offended and say, oh, that pastor. Hallelujah. And just searching for a place that'll never preach the word and preach convictions. You know, a lot of people won't last in a church like this because they don't like being under conviction. It gets too hot and heavy for them. But I'll tell you what, the ones that are doing it right and are pursuing God, they're not the ones that complain when I talk about dressing. They're not the ones that complain about how their kids act. They're not the ones that complain about money. The ones that are living and are all in with God, they just want what the Word says.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. It says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, we said this last week that God does not offer a timeline on when that happens, but look what he says in verse 24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive. He's saying you have a job, desire, pray, and believe. And then he says, and then you shall have them. He didn't say you're going to cause it to come to pass. He said he'll cause it to come to pass. Amen? Real quick, we're gonna stay on this verse in thought. Go to Psalm 34 and verse 7. This verse helps me so much. Because you wouldn't need faith in God if you could make the money come. If you could figure out a way to turn the situation, you'd do it already. Psalm 34 in verse, I said verse 7, didn't I? That's not where I want to go. Psalm 37 in verse 5 is where we want to go. Psalm 37 in verse 5. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. Notice this. And He, everybody say He. He shall bring it to pass. Who's going to cause it to come to pass? He is. Amen. One of the biggest things that you can learn about faith is your job is to believe. Your job is not to figure out how it's going to work. And if you get over into that mental realm of trying to figure it out, you're just going to spin your wheels, short circuit your brain, and get into doubt and unbelief because you're going to come to the conclusion, I don't know how to change this. I don't know how to fix this. And it's going to make you think it's impossible. No, He'll cause it to come to pass. Mark 11, 24 says, you desire, you pray, and you believe. Stay in your lane, ladies and gentlemen. You know, people start doubting and getting in unbelief because they can't figure out how it's going to happen. Because they can't do it. I've never yet got on an airplane, sat down and said, oh my God, we're in trouble. I don't know how to fly this plane. Not going to make it to my destination. I've never done that because I know there's one on board who knows how. He's fully equipped. I've never gone into a medical procedure, a surgery, any medical procedure. I thought, oh no. I don't know how to do stitches. I don't know how to apply that. I don't know how to take that out or change that. Nope, I know there's one that's qualified. Yeah. So, when I go into a trial where I don't know how to get the money, where I don't know how to get the healing, I don't know how the situation needs to turn, I don't worry. There's someone at the controls who knows how. He's driving the boat, praise God. Stop trying to figure it out. Now, this will help you. Jeremiah 32 and verse 27. Praise God. I feel like there is an aftershock of honor teaching in here right now. People need to shake that off and just say, yep, he's right. God ought to be honored more than anything on the earth. More than my job, more than my hobbies, more than my recreation. You just might as well say amen because it's true. Amen. Praise God. Jeremiah 32 and verse 27, he says, behold, and remember, Paul said, I believe God. That's all I need to know. I don't know how the boat's going to stay afloat. I don't know how we're not going to lose our life. All I know is I believe God. He said, I am the Lord thy God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? He's asking that tongue in cheek, sarcastically. Is there anything really that's too hard for me? That money problem that you're stressing over? Not too hard for me. You know, it's like you get into a plane and you're just laying there right outside the cockpit. You know, they probably carry you out now, but you're laying there crying. The pilot walks on board and says, what in the world is going on with you? I don't know how to fly this plane. We're not going to make it. The pilot's going to say, dummy, you don't have to fly the plane. I'm going to fly the plane. And God's looking down and he's probably holding out the word dummy. But he's probably thinking something else. He says, what are you worried about? Why are you stressing over the money? You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to figure out the healing. I got this. Yeah. Just get up and get in your seat and watch me move. Praise God. Go to Luke 18, 27. Praise the name of Jesus. Luke 18, 27. Says, the things which are impossible with men. What's impossible mean with men? There's no way. There's no way. You know, sometimes I'm just weird, I admit it, and I maybe think a little different than people. But when I encounter things I can't figure out myself, or when things look like they're not going to happen, I rejoice. I don't get upset because it doesn't matter that I don't know how, there's someone that does know how. The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. When you step into the realm of what's naturally impossible, you just stepped into the realm that's spiritually able. That's God's comfort zone, the impossible. Amen? Our flesh and mind are uncomfortable with the impossible. God is so comfortable with the impossible. You want to see some examples? Praise God. Go to Genesis 18 and verse 9. Genesis 18 and verse 9. Remember, parents, kids are watching. How you talk about the pastor and the house of God and how you reverence the house of God, it'll get off into them. It's just truth. Sowing, you're sowing. You're always sowing into your kids. Well, there's always a harvest with seed. There's always a harvest with seed. Sowing, sowing, sowing. What are you sowing into your children? I'm not saying you're sowing bad. We have awesome parents here, awesome kids. But remember, what you're sowing into them is the harvest in their life. Praise God. It's just the truth. Genesis 18. In verse 9, now this is God talking to Abraham and Sarah. And they said unto him, where is Sarah your wife? And he said, behold, she's in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto you according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. What's that mean? Naturally, no baby. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Talking about ceased it. She ain't having babies anymore. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself. Well, she wasn't in faith, was she? After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being also basically saying, they ain't making that Viagra. That's what she's saying. I don't mean to be crude, but that's what she's saying in a modern translation. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Whew. Get a little hot in here. That's what she said. She's trying to translate it. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore or why did Sarah laugh? Again, what's Sarah thinking? I'm going to fly the plane myself. I don't know how to fly the plane. I'm going to cause the healing to come myself. How am I going to make that happen? She's trying to figure out, how in the world are we going to have a baby when we're this old? Right. Yeah. You don't have to fly the plane, Sarah. So why did she laugh? Shall I of surety bear a child when I'm old? Look at this, Lord said. And the Lord said, verse 13, the Lord said unto Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child when I'm old? God couldn't figure it out. It'd be like that pilot. I mean, that pilot would look at that person and say, what? Get them off the plane. They're crazy. Right. Why did they think, why are they stressing about not knowing how to do it? They're not going to be in control. They're not going to do it, praise God. And God say, why did she laugh? She's not going to make it happen herself anyways. Right. That's what he's saying. And God's saying to you, why are you stressing? You're not going to be the one to cause it to come to pass. I am. Amen. He said to her. And then he said in verse 14, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Again, he's pointing out, it's impossible with you, but it ain't hard for me.
Right.
Hallelujah. The only thing I can think of that comes up in my spirit about impossible, if you sat me behind the cockpit of a 747 to take a trip from New York to California and said, you're going to fly that plane, naturally, would that be possible or impossible? Impossible. There are more controls and levers and numbers and gauges. I would have no idea. It would be absolutely impossible. Right? Absolutely impossible. And God is saying in those situations that you're facing that are absolutely impossible that you could never figure out, don't stress about it. I know how to fly the plane.
Yeah.
The pilot can come sit next to me, and because he's fully, I can sit in that cockpit and be completely uncomfortable. The same person who bleeds the same blood, who puts their pants on the same way I do, can sit in that seat and be completely comfortable with it. When you get over into that realm of uncomfort, the one seated next to you is not uncomfortable. He's not stressed out. He's not concerned what the doctors have said. He's not concerned what the checkbook or your job has said. He just knows, I'm God, there's nothing too hard for me. But it's not enough for him to know that he's God. You got to know that he's God.
Amen.
Amen. And what happened? Did they end up having that baby? Oh, they sure did. Because God was involved. Go to Exodus 14. We're not far from closing. Exodus 14. Trying to show you that that realm of the impossible, just believe God. When the thoughts come, how, you respond, God. Amen. The devil says, how you say God. Amen. It ought to be that fast out of your mouth. How's that going to happen? God.
Yeah.
Well, how's it going? God.
That's good.
But wait, they said, God.
Yeah.
God. God.
Yeah.
This is what I do. I'm telling you, put a camera on me. This is what you'll see me living. You'll say, he's a weirdo. I know. But it's working. It's working, praise God. Exodus 14, and how weird does that make you following a weirdo? I mean, you come here to listen to me every week. That makes you something. Praise the Lord, amen. Hallelujah. Exodus 14 and verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore do you cry unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. This is when they're getting chased by the Egyptian. But lift up your rod, or the rod that he had, that as a shepherd, the staff that he had, lift it up and stretch your hand over the sea. So God says, just take, stop crying unto me and stretch your hand over the sea with the rod. And, now notice this, and divide it. Abraham's like, say, what? Stretch my hand over the sea and divide it? That's what the Lord said. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Now Abraham had a choice, didn't he? How in the world, if I stretch forth my rod over the water, how in the world is it going to divide it? He could have gotten into doubt and unbelief and say, Lord, you got to come up with something better than that. But what? He trusted that God is God. Instead of getting into doubt, worry, and unbelief, what did he do? Put his hand over the water. Now go with me, flip over to Exodus 15 and verse 7. Exodus 15 and verse 7. Look at this. And in the greatness of thine excellency, you have overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. Verse 8. And with the blast of your nostrils. See, Abraham didn't know all this. Or Moses didn't know all this. He was just told, put your hand over the water and divide it. Just trust me, I'm God. Just trust me, I'm God. God's saying to you, just hold fast your confession. It's coming. Just hold fast your confession. It's coming. And he said, with the blast of your nostrils. That was one. I mean, God just said, okay, here we go. Let's hawk a good one here. Bam, right out of that water. And with a blast of your nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap. And the depths were congealed or frozen or made to come together in the heart of the sea. What happened? God blew on that thing with his nose. Praise. That's one heck of a nose blow right there. It parted the sea. Not only did it part the sea, but it congealed the water, which you look up, or the depths of the sea. You know, when you take all the water out of a sea, it's going to be very hard to get 2 million people across that water unless it hardens up. And it did. And it did. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will devour the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. You did blow with your wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. How in the world? I don't know. He's God. He's God. He's God. Praise God. Isaiah 43 and verse 16. Are you ever going to be done today? I am. There is an ending. Isaiah 43, verse 16. I think that's where I want to go. Yep. Now let me ask you a question. When they stood at the banks of the Red Sea, did it look like there was a way? No. You might be facing something in your life. It looks like there's no way. The doctors have said, there's no way. The financial report says there's no way. And you're standing at the banks of the thing that's out in front of you, and it looks like there's no way. Well, look at who your God is. Thus says the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. What's he say? You might not be able to see, but what I'm about to do is I'm going to make a highway where there was no way. And if you'll keep your faith in God, what looks like there's no way, all of a sudden God will pave a highway to your prosperity. God will pave a highway to your promise, to your blessing. Praise God. The Message Bible says this, the God who builds a road right through the ocean. See, nobody expected that, but see, that's why it wasn't humanly done. It wasn't humanly possible. Who carves a path through pounding waves. Praise God. Hallelujah. For time's sake, go to Job 22 and we'll close. I'm going to leave out a whole section of this that just, it seems good in my heart we can do that. You won't miss anything by not going there. Go to Job 22 and verse 21. Some of you need a miracle. And you're in a good place because the Bible said miracles, signs, and wonders, or not the Bible, but it's been prophesied. It lines up with the Word. So the Bible didn't specifically say Saul's Dayton, but the Bible did say, they that call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That word saved is whatever you need saving in. And it's been prophesied that there'll be miracles, signs, and wonders, but it seems good on my heart that when I'm done with this message, if you need a miracle, if you've been told something by the doctor, no way. If you've been told something financially, you've been told something to your situation, we're going to come in agreement together. And the anointing that's on my life combined with the faith that's in your life and the faith that I have, we're going to combine and we're going to agree. And that which is impossible is going to be possible. And you're going to go back and you're going to write it down and you're going to say at such and such a time when Pastor Mike prayed for me and I agreed with him on this such and such a day, March 12th, whatever it is, at certain time, I received my miracle. And you're going to hold fast to that confession. And every time the thought comes, you're going to say at such and such a time when Pastor Mike prayed for me on March 12th, I agreed with him for the impossible to happen, because we're not putting faith in Pastor Mike. We're not putting faith in your situation. We're putting faith in the Waymaker. He's going to make a way for you. And the Bible says we can agree as touching anything that we ask, it shall be done for them. So if you've been told no, we're going to pray and watch yes happen.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
So get ready. Job 22 in verse 21. All your job is, listen, this is easy now. All your job is to do. Pull that up in the Amplified Bible, please. All your job is to do during the time of patience. Instead, is just be in the Word. Build yourself up so you don't get shaken loose. Keep your attention on God. But instead of trying to figure out the how, look at what it says here. Acquaint now yourself with Him. All you need to do during this time, agree with God. Everybody say, agree with God. All your job is to do what Paul did. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. And it shall come to pass as it was said to me. What's Paul saying? I'm just agreeing with God. I'm not agreeing with my situation. I'm not agreeing with the doctor's report. I'm not agreeing with my checkbook. I'm agreeing with God. In the name of Jesus. That's all you have to do. You find a word on what He says and just agree with Him. Say, I'm going to agree with God. That's your job, ladies and gentlemen. Stop trying to figure it out. Just put your faith in the way maker. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. You're the pilot. You're the pilot. You're the surgeon, Father. We praise and bless you and glorify you and honor you. We thank you for your mercy and your goodness. We thank you for your love. Let's just worship Him. If He corrected you at all during this service, He's not mad at you. Pastor's not mad at you. Say, you sure were yelling? Yeah, I was yelling at the devil. Praise God. Trying to bring you up higher. Praise the Lord. He's just trying to love you and correct you just because He's got more for you. And if these things can be lined up with the Bible, don't take it out and be angry with me, with your church, with your brother and sister in Christ. Just be a doer of the Word. Let's just thank Him this morning. Let's worship Him.
Praise you, Father. Glorify you, Lord. We magnify you.
We bless you, Lord.
Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
We honor you.
Praise
we praise you.
Praise you, Lord.
Magnify you.
Praise you, Lord.
Thank you for your goodness.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
If you're one of those people that's going to come forward, I want you right now to say, it's done today. It's done today. When we pray and come in agreement, the anointing that's on my pastor's life and the faith that I have, you say that, the faith that I have and the anointing that's on my pastor's life. I'm not saying the faith that I have personally. I'm saying the faith that you have and the anointing that's on my pastor's life and what's been spoken over my pastor by men and women of God who know what they're talking about, what's been prophesied in the Bible, what's already in your heart. That anointing is going to drive the no's and cause them to become yeses. Hallelujah. We praise you. Before we get to that, with heads bowed and eyes closed, is there anybody in here this morning, no looking around, that's never received Jesus? If you receive Jesus, you know for sure you're going to heaven when it's your last day on earth. If you've never received Jesus, say, well, I believe in Him, and I've been a good person. You know, I've attended church. That's not how you get saved. The way that you get born again is by believing that Jesus died and rose again and accepting Him into your life. So if you're here with heads bowed and eyes closed and you've never received Jesus but want to go to heaven, want to become a child of God, we won't embarrass you. We won't have you come forward, stand up, or say anything on your own. But if you've never formally invited Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, would you just lift your hand high in the air? Anybody at all in this room that's never done it? We're not looking for repeat offenders. Praise God. You know what I mean by that? You know, if you've raised your hand one time and asked Him to come into your heart, you don't have to do it again. If you meant it, if you had a bad week or a bad month, you just ask Him to forgive you. Bad year, bad 10 years. Just repent. He didn't leave you. Anybody at all before we close? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You so much. There's no hands in here this morning, but if by chance someone's listening now or in the future by live stream, I pray they would not pass from this life till they've made Jesus their Lord. And Lord, You've made it simple. All we must do is call on Your name to be saved. Hallelujah. Now just worship Him because we're going to stir the pot a little bit. Now, Father, You have said in Your word there's nothing that's too hard for You. Just keep your eyes closed in an attitude of worship and expectation. You have said there's nothing that is too hard for You. You said when it's impossible with man, it's possible with You. Father, You have said in Your word that all things are possible to them that believe. So Father, if we know You can do it, we have to have faith that You will do it. And Father, You said in Your word, where two or three agree on earth as to touching anything that they ask for, it shall be done unto them. So Father, we take You at Your word this morning. We thank You bondages will be broken. Miracles will come to pass. That which was spoken over this church, over this ministry, and over my life individually will come to pass in these requests, in these faith declarations. And Father, we're not giving praise to the name of the church. We're not giving praise to the ministry or to the man that's at the forefront of this ministry. We're not giving praise to the pastor. We're putting our faith, our hope, and our expectation into You. So Father, stretch forth Your hand to heal. And Lord, may signs, wonders, and miracles be wrought among Your precious people here this morning. And I thank You testimonies will come out of this very service that people will say back on March 12th, 2017, I received my answer and it came to pass. Father, we praise You and glorify You. In Jesus' name, amen. Now when you come up here, take that, thank you. I'm going to ask you what I'm believing God for because I can't hook my faith up with something that I don't know. And so if you have anything that you've been told that's impossible, anything that you've been told, this is your answer. You've been told there's no way physically. You've been told there's no way financially. This is your chance. You say, well, I've already been believing for that. This is the manifestation of that belief, the anointing to come into your life. So I'm telling you, if there's anybody that's just left that needs it, if there's anybody in the nursery that you know of, anybody doing children's church, send an usher to go tell, some usher go and tell the people that to bring the kids in here. Let's bring all the kids in here because I don't want people to miss out on this. And everybody that just went to do the food, bring them back. Praise the Lord. The food can wait. My God. Come on in, kids, and have a seat. You know, kids need to see this stuff happening. Amen? It needs to be normal for them. Look at that. Look at those kids. We have some good kids. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's more important things than setting up snack.
Amen.
My God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We'll wait. Let's just worship Him.
Praise
this is on my heart to do this. This is on my heart to do this. This is on my heart to do this. Praise God. Hallelujah. Worship. You're a healer. You're a healer. Father, we've seen great things, more to come. We've seen great things, more to come. We've seen great things, more to come. You're a great things, God. Ladies, thank you so much, but we're going to stay in here. Just we need your faith, cooperation, praise God. Hallelujah. 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 We have people in here that were told they'd never have a baby, Jake and Heather. That it was impossible physically. The doctor said it was impossible. And they got in faith and believed the God that knew how to make it happen. And there's a little baby boy back there. Just growing up to be mighty. I could go on and on about testimonies. Corey and Charity have a little girl named Elizabeth. Is she here today? She is here today? She must be sitting. Oh, the nursery kids? Okay. If Lynn needs anything, you know, we'll leave the nursery kids in there, but if Lynn needs anything to be prayed for, go ahead and bring her in. Corey and Charity were told, there's nothing there that you need to abort this child. I remember the phone call I got. And I said, brother, what's your heart saying? He said, I don't believe that report. I said, well, that's not what the word says. And we agreed in prayer, didn't we, Corey? We agreed in prayer. We said, in the name of Jesus, there is a baby there, and this baby will be born healthy and whole. When the doctors are saying to do it, we're not going to do it. Praise God. And now she's just as vibrant and healthy and alive as ever. Praise God. So if you're in here and you need a miracle, you say, well, I've been confessing. Yeah, I know, but this is the time where the anointing gets imparted. Don't get prideful and think, well, if I go up there, I must not have been in faith. No, this is the manifestation of your faith. The anointing going into your life. So if you've been told anything medically, you've been told there's no way of that happening, follow Jeff's instruction, come up here and line up in front, and we're going to agree in prayer the same way I did with them, same day I did with them, same way I did with many other people. If you need a miracle, come forward. Come forward. I know there's people that need them in here, praise God, by faith, by the Spirit. And just line up next to one another. Jeff will instruct you. Praise God. You've been told it's impossible. You've been told there's no way. Or you're just believing God for something. You're believing God for something that's impossible, that seems hard. Come forward. Don't miss. Don't miss it. Hallelujah. The anointing's for a purpose. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yep. See, if we're going to get words like that over us, we're going to have things to be demonstrated. And we're going to demonstrate them how? By coming in agreement and then watching it come to pass. And then watching it come to pass. Praise God. Ushers, come, we'll start down here. Praise the Lord. I'm going to turn my mic off because it's not everybody doesn't need to hear things.